Welcome today as we are gathered together to praise God and to receive from him his blessings, but then to be able to respond in grateful praise for all that he has done for us this long year and a half. And so we had a lot of celebrating to do today, but let us begin our worship service celebrating the most important thing that has happened to us, the day that we were baptized into the God's kingdom, brought and adopted into his family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you so much that you have brought us to this place once again, a place where we can worship you, a place where you serve us, Lord, with your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, and your joy, and that you give us strength and to go out and to live our lives for you so that you may be glorified, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. We pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit to work in this place today, to work in our hearts and minds so that we may hear and remember, Lord, the truths that we hear from your word today. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your name we pray. Amen. We confess our sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of him, and by his command, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's return praise to our God who has given us such forgiveness.
Thank you. Oh, name's Mike Kennedy. I'm your elder this morning, and it's my privilege to read from the Gospel of Mark. It's a very special story about two very different people united in faith. It's in your pew Bible. It's on page 1431, and I encourage you to read the Gospel of Mark. He's a good writer. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter's dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt her body, that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him. They went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to tell anyone about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thank you, Mike. And now it is time for the children's message. So kids, if you would come down at this time and sit down on the floor right up here, I would really appreciate it. Come on down. And Mrs. Armbruster has the children's message for us this morning.
I do.
There she is.
There she is. If you guys
all right, everybody. Nope, sit right down on the floor
down there.
If you can stay on the gray carpet, that would be amazing.
Look at all these amazing children and princesses.
Nope, Sawyer.
There we go.
Back there.
Good morning, everyone. Are we going to do some special today? What are we going to do today? We're going to have a picnic. So guess what I brought? A picnic basket. And I actually have some things in my picnic basket that are for a picnic, but they also remind me of Jesus. So I'm going to show you some things and you kind of help me, okay? So the first thing I have, I don't know if you know what this is. Hand sanitizer, what else would it be, right? After 15 months. It's not hand sanitizer. Any of you big kids read?
Glue.
Not glue.
It's way too small to read.
It's way too small to read. Can you read that? That is bug spray. Because sometimes I have a problem when I go to a picnic and I see stuff like this. Bugs can be a problem at a picnic, right? But if I have my bug spray, it will help me with that problem. Now, when I spray the bug spray, do all the bugs just completely disappear?
No, they just don't like you.
They just don't like me anymore, yes. So this helps me with my problem, right?
Yeah.
So every single day, guess what? I have real problems. Sometimes they're really big problems, like maybe somebody gets really sick, or there's a car accident. That's a big problem. Sometimes it's a little problem, like maybe your brother or sister knocked over your blocks. But I have something always with me that helps me with those problems. It's not bug spray. Who is it? Jesus is always with me. He doesn't just poof, make my problems go away, but he can help me with my problems, can't he? He's right there by my side. All right, I have something else. Potato chips. How many of you like potato chips? You want to know a secret? I don't like potato chips. I actually kind of like pretzels better. So that is an excellent question. Why do I have potato chips? Because if I like potato chips, or if you like potato chips, and I don't like potato chips, who's right? Me or you? You like potato chips. I don't like potato chips. Who's right? What do you think? Are you right or am I right? Nobody's right. Is it okay if you like potato chips and I don't?
No.
Yeah. Can I love you even if you like potato chips and I don't?
Yeah.
Can I be kind to you even if you like potato chips and I don't?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know why that reminds me of Jesus? Because that's what Jesus did. He loved everybody, even if they were different. And he was kind to everybody, even if they were different. So that's how potato chips remind me of Jesus. I have one other thing. A tablecloth. Because when I go on a picnic and I find a picnic table, sometimes it's gross and it's dirty and there's leftover food and sometimes there's dried leaves, sometimes even bird poop. Ew. But if I take my tablecloth and I put it on, then I have a nice, clean place to eat. You know what? I have sin in my life. And it's dirty and it's yucky.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what you were thinking. You were right.
Me too.
You too. And that sin, when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he took all those sins, he washed them away, and I am completely clean. It's like Jesus' blood, right? So let's review. The bug spray reminds me that God helps me with my problems. The potato chips remind me that I can love and be kind to
everyone.
And the tablecloth reminds me that because of what Jesus did, I am completely clean from all my sins. Can you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus so that he can help me with my problems, remind me to be loving and kind to everyone, even if they're different, and that he died on the cross to forgive all of my sins and make me clean. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. And I hope you have a wonderful time at the picnic.
All right, hey kids, before you guys get away from us, we're going to have a song, correct? All right, very good. All the VBS kids are going to stay and sing, and now you guys can come up onto the stage. Very good. All right, then. And Jason, are we all queued up with the music? We're good to go. All right, Laura, it's all yours.
We just wanted to thank all of you for your support of Vacation Bible School. Rocky Railway was such a blessing to do. We were supposed to do it in 2020, and obviously we couldn't. So we did it twice this year just because we could. So, yeah. So thank you, and welcome to all the families visiting today for Vacation Bible School. We want to share just a little bit more, so I think we have a special slideshow that we're going to show you, so enjoy.
My dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, we've had quite a year, and we've had quite a couple of weeks. You know, the Vacation Bible School was absolutely fabulous. What is it, 220 kids about, roughly, we were able to work with this year in over 2 weeks, so we could limit the numbers a bit, and it was a fabulous time. We've got amazing parents and amazing parents and amazing volunteers who make all this happen. It is time for little worship. And so all the little kids, 4-year-old through 4th grade, who want to go to little worship, it looks like we're meeting at this door and at the cross in the center aisle. You guys can go there, and you guys will have some teaching just for you, and the rest of us are going to stay in here, and we're going to open God's Word today. Now, first of all, you see the text for today. What's the name of the book? This is a very odd text for a celebration Sunday. All right, it just seems kind of a little backward, right? This is Jeremiah's lamentation, basically crying over Judah and Jerusalem after Nebuchadnezzar had taken the children of Israel off into captivity. He was surrounded by death and destruction, and the city was burned, and the temple had been torn down, and everything was a total disaster. It was just an utter mess, and he was kind of there as like a foreign war correspondent, just chronicling all the things that he was seeing. And then in the middle of this book of lament, this book of sadness, these are the words that he says. You ready for this? Here we go. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 33. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him. Let him be filled with disgrace, for no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. All right. So what we have here is we have Jeremiah, and he is, like I said before, witnessing terrible things. And in the middle of the misery, in the middle of the, you know, the smell of the burning buildings and the unbelievable destruction and death that he witnessed, even in the middle of all of that, he still sees God's grace. And it seems a little strange that he would be seeing God's grace and all that, but the fact is this. Jeremiah's job was to be God's prophet. And God's prophet first was to bring a message of judgment because the people of God had like wandered away from him. And I mean, in really stubborn and unbelievable ways, they'd wandered away from him. They'd broken his covenant, the covenant that God made with Abraham and with Moses in the desert. The covenant that basically reduced down to one sentence is, I will be your God and you will be my people. And God is faithful and God did his job, and the people refused to follow God. They refused to be faithful to God. They kept following after other gods. They kept doing whatever was right in their own mind rather than following God's laws, God's expectations for them. And so it got to the point where God just couldn't just let it happen anymore. The people were wandering away from him, and if he didn't do something big, they may never return. And because God loved those people so much, he actually sent this unbelievably difficult thing upon them in the hopes that they would return. And actually, they did. But the people needed some hope as all this was coming down. As they were watching all these things, they needed to be reminded that God's mercies never end, that his compassion is still his dominant feature, that he will not hold the sins of the people against them forever. And so God gave them this text, and he said this. He says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. So, I mean, even though the people were being harshly punished, they didn't lose their identity. For his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. And it is an amazing thing to know that, you know, Martin Luther actually said this. He said, folks, every morning it is time to bring your confession to God. He gives us a morning prayer. And in that morning prayer, he asks God to forgive all of our sins and that we receive that new forgiveness every day. He encourages us to spend every morning in God's word so that we will be continually nourished and built up with God's word and in the Holy Spirit so that our faith will be strengthened and we will be refreshed no matter what the world is doing. And it says that the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. What that means is that the Lord is my inheritance. That's what that word is actually getting at. And it's basically meaning this: I know for sure this is coming. I don't have any question. It is my right as God's child that I will receive this gift of grace and mercy and forgiveness, and that he will redeem me. The struggles that we've had lately are a little bit different from what happened in the text. The text is all about judgment and about the people not doing what they were supposed to do, and thus this bad thing happened to them. The struggles we've been dealing with are not a direct punishment for sin, but it is an effect of sin. I mean, it's one of those times that people always ask, why does these things happen? Why does God let these things happen? And the answer to that question goes back to the very beginning of the Bible, where God created everything perfectly and none of these things did happen. But then, of course, we fell into sin. Adam and Eve, you know, the whole fruit thing and the curse that was placed upon them. And ever since that point, we have sinned. People have done wrong things. And we have continued to do those wrong things, but those wrong things didn't just affect us and our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. Although it did affect all those relationships, it also affected our relationship with the world. That the world was before the sin, Adam and Eve could just grab food out of the garden at any time, and they didn't even have to work for it. There was no toil before sin. But after sin, the part of the curse that God gave Adam is that you will now toil. You will work very hard for the things that you need. And the ground is going to grow weeds, and you're going to have to pull them. And it's not always going to rain at the right time. And you're going to have to work with that. And it's going to be tough. But one of the other great problems is these diseases. And that's what we've been dealing with. And so we've dealt with all kinds of interesting things during this whole COVID thing, haven't we? I mean, working from home, isolation from our friends, trying to keep our kids healthy and safe, and at the same time, let them have some semblance of normal childhood. What else? I mean, just all kind of the fears and the concerns and the worries for our older, for our, like my parents, and, you know, we just, all of these things that we're struggling with, and then the effects of all those things, you know, how that affects shopping, how it affects work, how it affects just being with other people and staying connected, being connected to family, people in nursing homes. I mean, just so many effects that we have had to deal with. But the lesson that that Jeremiah was teaching the children of Israel at this time is, even though things were really bad, God is still working. God is still active. He is still making things happen. And the people of God still have a job to do, and that is to carry out the message of the people. Listen to this. This is Daniel. Daniel was a prophet, and he was actually a prophet while the children of Israel were in captivity. He worked for the Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar one day had a dream, and it was really distressing, and none of his wise men could help him with the dream. So Daniel not only could help him with the dream, but could tell him what the dream was. And then after Daniel was able to help the, you know, help the king out with his dream, this is what the king said. So just understand what Daniel was able, you know, what God was able to do through Daniel. He says, the king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly your God is God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." So Daniel, doing his thing and working and being God's man in this world, was able to be a witness to God. And then there's another, and then later on, Daniel, the classic story of Daniel, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, right? Where the king made a rule that nobody could pray to anybody but the king, and Daniel just insistently and stubbornly prayed to God and did it openly. And then finally, Daniel was punished for his transgressions against the king by being thrown into the lion's den. And when he was thrown into the lion's den, the king, who knew Daniel and knew what Daniel stood for, said, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. He said that to Daniel. So do you think Daniel was being a witness? Yeah, probably. I mean, the king even knew that. And then later it says, yeah, the next morning when the king comes running out, because he likes Daniel. He doesn't want Daniel to be hurt. But he runs out to the lion's den, and he says, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" That's what the king said. That's what the pagan Nebuchadnezzar said about God, because of the life that Daniel lived and the witness that Daniel had. And then later, when Daniel was taken out of the lion's den and the bad guys that tried to frame him got what they deserved, then it says this, "Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth, 'Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So you think the people of God had work to do while they were in captivity? In the middle of tough times, in the middle of everything going wrong, did God's people have work to do? All right, so here to extend that, do you think we had work to do during this crazy pandemic? Think our church had some jobs to do? Do you think God was still going to be working through his people? And the answer is yes. So let's talk about some of the things God has done through St. Mark's during the pandemic. First of all, start with women's ministry. MOPS has met in person all year and has added another night option as well. Only one of the groups is in the meeting in the area is meeting in person. Only one of all the MOPS groups in the area meeting in person. And they made hundreds of freezer meals, donated to women's shelters, and made baby baskets and more. And then we had women in prayer who were praying for each other during the pandemic. Basically, people signed up for it, and Lauren organized it, and people were praying for other individuals, and they were able to uphold and support each other and build community and stuff in the middle of being isolated. We had family nights, or we had movie nights, both with the youth ministry and with the young children and the families. We had outdoor VBS last year when we couldn't do indoor VBS. We did an outdoor VBS on the stage with the radio and stuff. We did what we could. Birthday party for Jesus, we still had that on Christmas. Take home New Year's Eve kits because we couldn't do our New Year's party. And we still had the Easter egg hunt and butterfly release. Youth ministry has been meeting since last summer. And confirmation went on pretty much as usual. We had to modify things a little bit with the small groups. Boy Scouts has also met during this year. We had an amazing school year. The teachers, I don't think they ever would have, if we would have asked them 2 years ago if they thought they'd ever do, you know, computer distant learning type stuff, they would hope never to have to. And I think they probably still hope never to have to again. But they rose to the challenge and did a fabulous job. The kids in our school, unlike most schools, did not finish the year behind. They finished their curriculum. They did what they needed to do. The kids actually learned everything they needed to learn. That was last year, at the end of last year. And then this year, they have been in class all year long, other than the times that they had to be quarantined, which happened a couple of times. But, you know, God really did protect us. As far as I know, I don't think anybody got COVID here. They just got COVID someplace else and then showed up here, and then everybody had a quarantine for a while. So at least that's the story I'm sticking with. All right. Let's see what else we got. During the school year, we had some amazing fundraising going on. Who knew? You couldn't be around anybody, but here's what we did. School families raised over $7,000 in caring for classrooms. It was like a website that you could order things on. $7,000 on that. And the Scholastic Book Fair was $4,000, which is amazing. And then the TJ's Pizza was $3,000. So it was amazing because, you know, even in the middle of the pandemic, when it was really difficult to do anything, God was still really busy and at work and making things happen. You know all the worship things that we had to do, where we had family communion prefer time here, and we had parking lot worship until I couldn't stand it anymore and was freezing. You guys remember that when I was standing up there shaking and my voice was quavering during the services? Yeah. And then we moved inside because I couldn't do it anymore. And then, but you know what? God made it possible. He just continued to help us. He sent us Jason and Andy, who made it possible for us to do the parking lot worship, and Steve Kasten, who built, and Seth, who built the stage, and just sent people and made it possible for us to keep going, made it possible for us to keep worshiping. Leslie did an unbelievable job of putting together those services while we were, you know, only able to worship online. And then she coordinated all of these sign-ups and stuff throughout the year to make it happen. God just blessed us with all the things and all the people that we were going to need to be able to get this done. What else we got? Then we had the radio station and all that. Let's see, we did, delivered lots of things to homes when people were locked up. And that means, like, instead of being able to do like an Easter egg hunt, we brought Easter egg baskets of Easter eggs to people's houses and stuff. Instead of having Sunday school here, we actually took Sunday school material to people's houses so that they could do Sunday school at home. We did 35 boxes of food for local families during the Easter baskets food drive. Well, and remember, about halfway through the pandemic, we talked about how we were having trouble here, but that down in Guatemala, all our friends down there were really, really hungry, and they were having a really tough time. We were able to give them thousands of dollars, and one of our friends down there was able to deliver, you know, take that money and go to the store, or market, actually. They don't go to stores. He went to the market, and he bought $2,000 worth of food and distributed it to all the people that he could that were hungry, making, you know, whatever difference we could. What else? Cornerstone Ministry. Have you guys heard of this? All right, this is kind of like the offshoot, or the we used to have the benevolence ministry. Remember, we had the money that we set aside for people who needed help, right? And then we also had like the flood work ministry, which we, you know, and so those two things were kind of running at the at the same time for a while, and then we filtered them into one. And so now we call that the Cornerstone Ministry because Christ is our cornerstone, but we're also doing a lot of building projects and we're also taking care of people with their housing needs and stuff. And so that ministry, during the middle of COVID, we repaired a roof and we put a wheelchair ramp on a house. So yeah, good stuff. What else? Oh, big thing. You ready for this? Remember a fundraising campaign for the debt relief way back when this all started. And right before the end of the campaign is when the lockdown happened. And so we were matching a $250,000 gift to our congregation. And at the beginning of that, when they said, hey, we're going to match $250,000 in the next 2 years, I was like, okay, wonder how that's going to work. It worked. We raised more than the match. To the point that just shortly after the end of this campaign, our mortgage went under $1 million. And just this week, our mortgage is now under $700,000. And in the middle of all that, Mike Kennedy came to me and said, Pastor Bob, I can't fix the roof over the gym lobby anymore. I'm putting patches on top of patches on top of patches, and I just can't do anything more with it. And so we thought, well, let's look at that. Well, by the time we were done, he found a bunch of hail damage and stuff. We ended up replacing all the roofs on the entire school building, the gym, the lobby, the classrooms, all the rooftop air conditioners on that building. We got two more air conditioners we're working on right now, whatever. Mike can tell you the details. I'm just trying to hang on at the edge. Things change fast. We're doing unbelievable stuff. And then we're like thinking, well, how are we going to pay for all this? Because we have to pay for it. Well, insurance covered about half of it. And the other half was covered because Hank Carl, some of you guys know him, wonderful man of God. He died and remembered our church in his will and basically covered the cost of the rest of the repairs. God is good. He does amazing things. He does stuff we could never ask for or imagine. I mean, that roof has been stressing us out for like the whole 20 years I've been here. And now it's done. And nobody broke a sweat. God just was like, here goes, bump. You know, here's the thing. Even during this crazy year, God has been active and busy. He has been giving us opportunities and giving us resources so much that it's just hard to believe. And I can't wait to see what he's going to do next. I mean, this is the most amazing part of it, is that we get to live as his people in this world, and we get to watch him work. We get to be the ones that are like his hands and feet running around doing things, but he's the one that gives us the opportunities. He's the one that gives us the resources. All we have to do is do what he tells us to do. And move when he tells us to move. And so, folks, what an amazing opportunity, what an amazing life God has given us. That we live here in this world, and even in this crazy, wacky year, God's done amazing things in and through us. And now we get to look forward and see what God is going to do next. And I want to encourage you, folks. I know some of you are like, you know, up to your elbows involved in everything that's going on around here. And some of you are just kind of on the periphery. And I encourage you, folks, if you're on the edges, you're missing out. There is a lot of fun to be had doing God's work in this ministry. I often feel bad that I'm the pastor and I get to see it all right up front on the front line, because I'm like, I want you guys to be able to see it too. And so please, if you, and I understand phases of life and stuff when you have little children and you turn your back on them ever, and that makes it hard to do a lot of things. I get all that. I've had little children. But if you can figure a way to be involved in ministries here at St. Mark's, I'm telling you what, it is unbelievable how much fun it is, how fulfilling it is, how I don't know what to call it. When God uses you to do the thing that he created you to do, it is the most amazing experience. And I'm not saying it's easy. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard, but it's amazing. And it's wonderful to be able to bring him praise in that way, to give praise to the God who gave his life for us, to love the people that he gave us to love. And so, folks, a Sunday of celebration for all that God has done for us. And we can't forget, most important thing, folks, and that we carry this message every place we go, that he died for us. He made us his. He brought us into his family and blessed us with through the gift of baptism, through the gift of the Lord's Supper, through his word, and through each other. He blesses us, strengthens us, and helps us so that we can continue to do the work he's called us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God. Amazing God. In the times when we think that all we can do is survive, you do so much more than just have us survive, Lord. You help us to do so well. I pray that you would continue to give us opportunities to serve you. Continue to give us opportunities, Lord, to be your people in this world. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bother us, Lord. Continue to work at us until we concede and join in, Lord, into the work that you are already doing among us. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for inviting us into your ministry. Thank you for giving us the abilities that are needed. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends. I have to look at my notes because after that I'm all distracted. Let's see. Okay, we are going to sing next. Is that correct? Okay, good. See, this is all new, and I bet we go to live worship team again, so it's all different. All right, folks, let's stand up as we sing We Believe. And this song serves as our creed today.
Thank you. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life.
My friends, it's now time to pray. And as we pray today, we want to keep in mind Ellie Barker and her family at the loss of her husband, Don. That's a hard one for me. Don was here all the time. I mean, he was like an unpaid staff member. Every time I see something at church, I remember Don, because Don did that, you know, or organized it or arranged it. Or he was our property chairman for like the last, 10 years or like 10 years, I think, maybe more. It was amazing. So we're going to miss him terribly. And then Mary Borgschulte, recovering from back surgery, is doing very well and on the mend. I went and saw her just a few days ago, and she's doing great. And Ron LeBob, who had sepsis, was in the hospital for treatment, is home now, and so he is on the mend. We just pray that he doesn't have any other complications. And then please keep my mom in prayer, Tammy Liebman, as she is having a corneal transplant on Wednesday. Her has a really bad infection in that eye, and she needs to get that the old cornea out, and just pray for her. She's very anxious about losing her vision and the surgery and everything. There's just a lot going on there. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you so much that you've made us your children, brought us into your house, Lord, where we are able to receive from you such amazing gifts as your word, your revelation about how much you love us and what that love has caused you to do by sacrificing yourself so that we can spend eternity with you, so that we can be your children, so that you can be our God, so that it's just an amazing, amazing blessing. Lord, I pray that you would give us that comfort of knowing about the eternity that we get to be with you. Lord, we pray that Ellie and the kids would be able to have that comfort during this time when they're grieving the loss of Don. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we all look forward to the day where we will be reunited in your presence, in your kingdom, praising you forever, Lord, for all that you have done. Lord, I pray that you would also be with Mary as she's recovering, and Ron as well, Lord, as he's getting better. Pray that you'd continue to be with them, help them to have patience as they recover, and just continue to bless them with healing. I pray for my mom, Lord, as she is continues toward eye surgery. I pray that you would help the doctors find the right treatments, overcome the infections, Lord, and help the transplant go well. Lord, we thank you for an amazing year of many miracles and many blessings, Lord. I pray that you would continue to bless your church, to bless the ministries, to bless each and every one of us, and that, Lord, that you would help us to be a blessing to the people that you have put in our lives. Lord, all this we bring to you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And now today we are going to sing the Lord's Prayer.
Let your glory
Blessing today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Please be seated. Team back. This is very nice. All right. Thank you guys so much. And by the way, one thing I forgot to mention is one of the groups of people that made all this like worship possible while we were in COVID is the worship team. They continued to come together, continued to record music on Thursday nights so that we would have fresh music on during our recorded worship services on Sundays. So these people, they never really took a break. All right, so please give them a thanks for everything that they've done. And there's some more of them out there, too. Excellent. We're so blessed with God's just blessed us with wonderful people to get these things done. And Mr. Denning, at this point, wants to come forward and talk to us a little bit about school stuff.
Yeah, I didn't want Pastor to give away my thunder during his sermon because he talked a little bit about great things happening at the school. But anyway, my name's Merv Denning. I'm the principal of the day school. And I'm here, first of all, to say thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your encouragement as we navigated the 2020-2021 school year of COVID-19. We survived as a school. We had an amazing theme called God is in Control, and He was in control during the year, before we started, and after now, as we continue now in the 2021-2022 school year. The students of St. Mark's also had an amazing year. Yes, it was difficult with all the COVID protocols and challenges we had to overcome, but learning happened. How do I know that? Well, first of all, I saw our outstanding teachers teaching every day of the school year, most of the time in person, and when we had to, virtually. They were rock stars doing virtual teaching this year. Secondly, this year we were able to take the nationally normed Iowa basic test this year. We were not able to do it last year because we were locked down. But this year we were able to do that, and I'm here to share with you this year's result. As a school, including all of our students in kindergarten through eighth grade, we scored at the 72nd percentile. That means we scored better than 72% of all the other students in the country. And our students also scored 1.8 years above grade level on the national norm. We learned this year at St. Mark's. So, as principal, I am very excited about that. I shared it with the school board, and the school board said, you better share that with the congregation. So here I am doing that with you, okay? We also learned that our kids did not lose any learning during the lockdown, and we also did not lose any learning this last year in pandemic. So what's going to happen this year? Only God knows. But I'm sure He's got great things ahead of us. So, if you would like to be a part of our family where we teach Jesus' love for everyone, where we use God's word, the Bible, in today's world, and where we partner with you, the parents and grandparents, in the upbringing of your children and grandchildren, please chat with me or any of our other teachers after today. We'd be happy to talk with you about the amazing ministry of St. Mark's Lutheran School. Thank you very much for allowing me to talk.
Sorry, he's not very passionate. not excited at all. Anyway, and then let's see. Yes, we're going to do the details about the picnic. You're all coming to the picnic, right? Because just because it's wet and rainy outside, we're still doing it.
Well, and one more thing I want to add is just a huge thank you to Merv Denning and Kathy Frazier. The amount of work it takes to be a school administrator is unmatched, especially this year. So thank you guys for everything and all the boards and everybody that helped with them. I mean, it was just incredible amount of work. So thank you guys. So some church picnic details. We had to make a game day decision around 5:30 this morning whether to set up outside or inside. And so we picked inside, but it hasn't rained since, so I'm sorry. But we did the best we could with the information we had, which was it's going to rain later, but it hasn't. But okay, so we're set up in the gym for you guys. Yay! So I just wanted to let you know, we are set up with tables. We were still able to get our bounce house and our obstacle course in there, so it's cozy. It's cozy. So thanks for your patience. We're ready for a big party, though. And then also our princesses and superheroes and our ice cream truck are still coming. So all around noonish and a little after that too. So we're really looking forward to it. We think the best method to the madness will be for us to go down, find a seat, then we're going to pray, and we'll kind of go around and casually dismiss tables instead of making that long line because we have an obstacle course there. So, you know, naturally. I think that'll work well. Some men and ladies of St. Mark's that go here a lot, if we find that the tables are getting tight, I think in that back alleyway, we could probably put tables out there too. So if we notice it's getting cramped, we'll just try to modify. So thank you guys so much.
All right. And then I've got my other little things that I have to do here. Lutherans for Life is going to continue collecting in the cribs until July 17th, and there's a notice in the bulletin if you want to know what kind of stuff they're collecting. And then if anybody wishes individual prayer after the service today, we will have an elder in the prayer chapel to pray with you individually. I believe that's everything. Is that enough? I think we've done a lot. All right, guys, you guys have a fabulous week. I can't wait to see you over at the picnic. And kids, who's fastest at the obstacle course? Yeah, okay, there we go. We got winners out there. I love it.